Welcome to Witchful Thinking, a podcast all about being a witchy woman in the modern world we live in. Each week, you can listen to these two witches banter about witchcraft, spell work, current events, intuitive wellness, spirituality, astrology, tarot, and much more. Our goal here on Witchful Thinking is to create content that informs and centers our listeners and helps them look at the world around them in a much more meaningful, magical way. Thanks so much for tuning in, and be sure to follow the podcast on Instagram for daily updates. This week on the show, we're thrilled to have author, Green Witch, and Reiki practitioner Jennifer Lane. Based in the UK, Jennifer's first book, The Wheel, A Witch's Path Back to the Ancient Self, is being re-released on paperback on October 6th of this year. The book discusses delving deeper into pagan practices and reconnecting with nature in a world focused on the 9-to-5 grind, digital distraction, and everyday noise. Tune in to listen to Jennifer's story of how she liberated herself to embark on her spiritual journey through writing in the world of magic, and be sure to snag a copy of the re-release on paperback, The Wheel, A Witch's Path to Healing Through Nature, on October 6th. You can find Jennifer's website, a link to purchase her book, and all of her social media in the description down below. Welcome to the show, Jennifer. We can't wait to talk with you. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Witchful Thinking Podcast. I know you missed us. It's been like 3 weeks, but we're back. And we have a very special guest on today. As you heard from the intro, Jennifer Lane, Green Witch and author connoisseur, is on here today to talk about her new book, The Wheel, A Witch's Path Back to the Ancient Self. It's coming out October 6th. And I'm so excited to, I'm assuming, be probably, maybe, I don't know, like one of the first podcasts to talk about it before it comes out. Maybe, fingers crossed. If not, that's fine. But
no, exactly. Yeah, no, I'm really excited to talk about it because I've just got, you know, I've got so much energy about this book. So yeah, I'm just really, really happy to be talking about it.
Well, I'm glad you have a lot of energy about it because it really comes through in the cover. I mean, the cover art of this book is gorgeous. I love it so much. I think I've seen a couple different covers of it on your Instagram. One had like colorful flowers in the wreath, I think. Yeah. And then I think there was another one that it was like a golden wreath of flowers, but both of them are to die for and just really scream like witchy October, Mabin, Samhain vibes. I love it so much. So to dive into this, tell us like a little bit about yourself as a green witch, your practice, your history as like a writer. Just get crazy, go crazy, go stupid.
Sure. So I've actually been practicing green witchcraft since I was a teenager. I think I started quite young, so about 12, 13. I got hooked on a series of teen books called Sweep by Kate Tiernan. And honestly, that changed the trajectory of my life because I thought to myself, oh, wow, wouldn't it be wonderful if witches were real? And then I quickly Googled it and I was like, oh, actually, this is a thing. This is actually a thing that people do. So I got hooked on witchcraft and I started out with a little herb garden in my back garden. And it just grew from there, you know, doing spells in my teenage bedroom under all my, you know, like pop star posters and everything, and just grew from there. But I took quite a few years out. I think that just with the pressures of school and university and everything, I decided to put witchcraft on the back burner. And that was almost quite painful for me because it felt like such a big part of my identity. But as I got a little bit older and reconnected with that witchy part of myself when I was like in my early 20s, I just thought, oh, I can't believe that I've put this to bed for so long, because it's just me. It connects me with not only witchcraft but with nature, and that's just such a wonderful thing within green witchcraft, is that you feel part of everything. People believe that, you know, we are above nature, we are the rulers of nature, but I think definitely within green witchcraft and quite a few different groups, which I'm so glad are coming to the forefront these days, but just the belief that we are a part of this ecosystem, we are all equal to every part of nature. And that's just something that appeals to me so much about green witchcraft. So what actually happened was I was in the world of work doing my normal everyday writer job, because even though I'm writing these books, but I've been a copywriter for quite a few years now, and I just got incredibly burnt out just to the point where I could barely function. Like I'd be in the shower and like my hair would just be coming out in clumps in my hand because I was just having such a physical stress reaction. And I realized at that point that when was the last time I went outside, like and actually spent time in nature spiritually, rather than just going for a run or go, you know, just spending that functional time in nature, when was the last time I spiritually connected? So I realized that it'd been a very, very long time. And I'd become so stressed and anxious that I decided to quit my job. And I thought, that is it. I can't do this anymore. I need to reconnect. So I was very, very fortunate to be able to take a little bit of time out of the working world to recover. And that is where the wheel comes in. That is where when I started writing the book as this recovery process. So going from that really extreme burnout in the kind of very chaotic working environment in the office and just not relating to that in any way, shape or form, and then reconnecting with nature and with that refinding my spirituality. So the wheel is basically my witchy memoir, which documents that whole recovery process from burnout to hopefully thriving witch.
Wow, what a beautiful story. I mean, and at the time, I'm sure when you were in the thick of it, it didn't feel beautiful, but now hearing that behind that is the story behind the wheel. I'm so excited to read it because, I mean, I went through a similar situation where I got so burned out with my job, I just had to quit. And so I relate to that so much. And especially, you know, for someone who identifies as a green witch, to be stuck inside of an office all day long, not being able to feel the sun on your skin and the breeze and the smell of the outdoors, that must have been so difficult. And, you know, corporate environments are not what they are cracked up to be.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I suppose. Go on.
Just before this call, Liz and I were talking about like Liz's past of always convincing people to quit their corporate job.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing as well, basically just slowly sort of sowing the seed with my friends, like, hey, this might not be for you.
Yeah, I have a passion for convincing people who are miserable in their jobs that they can convince their jobs or that they can quit their jobs now, because if I just hear anybody's unhappy, I'm like, okay, cool, what do you want to do? You should just quit your job.
Yeah, it sounds like we have a similar life mission, is just to get everybody basically just doing witchcraft and being out in the forest all the time. Yeah. But yeah, I suppose like being in that office environment and, you know, like with plastic plants instead of real plants because they couldn't get any light. And you couldn't open the windows because we were quite high up in an office block. So they didn't want the windows open. So it was just constant aircon and feeling very, just out of touch. So almost when you went outside the building, you kind of had that feeling of vertigo, like, whoa, where am I? Because the environments were so different. Right. So yeah, as a witch, that was incredibly difficult. But yes, I now work full time at home, which is very, very liberating.
Awesome. That is, man. And so remind me again, what year did you quit your job?
So I quit right at the end of 2018, and I went through the process of healing, basically, throughout 2019 and into 2020, and I used the wonderful power of lockdown to write the book because I had more time, so that was very useful. So yes, the book actually came out in 2021, and we're now re-releasing it with a beautiful new cover, which is the purple cover that you'll have seen. And it just, I think it's just that very, spooky season, autumnal colors. So yeah, it's just the perfect one for autumn, I think.
Yeah, it really is gorgeous. And like Liz and I actually, when we first met, I think really our favorite color was like both purple. We kind of both ended up going in like different directions with our color palettes. But like, I do remember that being that, yeah, that color. I connect so deeply to that color. And I feel like I'm drawn to, I don't decorate with it or anything anymore. Like I'm actually like a very autumnal color year round, like color palette, but like, just looking at it, I was really, really drawn to the one with the purple wreath cover. Was there like a specific reason that you decided to re-release it? Or like, is there like a difference between the previous version or?
Well, the first version, so that would be the hardback version. And so the paperback version is coming out and we decided to give it a new lease of life because I think we all loved this beautiful autumnal wreath, which was those golden orange colours. But yes, the purple wreath just really, it really stands out. So we just thought, you know, hey, we're going to give this one a chance as well.
Which is, that's fair enough. Like as a writer, I feel like I can never fully decide on the visual aspect of anything because I'm so like stuck in the words. So I would have probably done the exact same thing. I probably would have re-released the book with like 7 different covers and had everybody confused as to like, is this a new book? Like what is she doing?
It's like a collector's item. They could collect each cover.
Yeah, gotta collect them all. Just make them exactly. I love that idea actually. Because as people with ADHD, like if I want to release it in 7 different colors, then I'm probably going to end up doing it. At what age did you figure out that you loved writing? Because I would assume you probably did you go to school with the intentions of being a copywriter because you loved writing, and then obviously that environment was just not what you were expecting, or have you loved writing since childhood?
Loved writing forever, just as far back as I can remember. But yeah, I went to, when I went to school, to uni, I studied creative writing there with a hope of being a published author. And then I actually went down the children's writing route and did an MA in children's writing. So I actually have a book coming out next year, which is a young adult fiction book, all about witches, of course. What else? What other subjects are there? So that one will be coming out next year. But yes, so the wheel came first. And I just feel like this was just a really important story to tell, because I think that so many different people can relate to this. To just this path that we have in life of we think that adult life is going to be a certain way where we have more time and freedom, but we end up commuting long hours and, you know, working much later than our finish times, and just feeling so burnt out. So I just felt like this was an important story to say that, you know, there is another way of doing this. There are other ways of coming back to yourself. Not everything is about work, even though it might seem it at the time. There are other paths that we can take to reconnect with ourselves.
Preach. Wow. That is, if that is the message of what I learned, one of the biggest things I learned coming out of the pandemic, that was it, is how precious our time is. And yeah, I mean, obviously work is different in different countries and in different cultures. And in the United States, it is very much, you know, everybody's feeling overworked and burnt out, and they're staying well past the time they are supposed to clock out. I think it just puts a funk, just like a nasty little funk that is very hard to get rid of. So that's a beautiful message.
And definitely I still feel like we are in the time of like the great, what the hell was the word they were calling it, Liz? The great, like everyone jobs.
Oh, they were resignation.
It. Yes, yeah. The great resignation. Yeah. We're definitely like still in the middle of it. And, you know, more the past 2 years than ever in my adult life have I felt like this immense amount of just like, I hate what I'm doing. This is just a paycheck. This is like, I'm paying my bills, but like, I'm not making any time to travel. I want to do this. I want to go see friends. I want to, you know, see this before I die. And like, all I'm doing is like, I'm also a copywriter. But yeah, but like, I like, what is going on? Like, what in the world is, what's my purpose? And, then this year, in July, I lost my job after 4 years, and it turned out, I mean, like, I knew the second that it happened that it was like, you needed this, because everything in my life was telling me, like, I didn't want to get out of bed. I also work from home, but I was just so burnt out. I just didn't believe in like what the company was doing. I didn't believe in what my role was there anymore. And I ended up finding a new job that I'm very happy at. But that feeling of just like the weight of the world being on your chest every morning when you wake up and you're like, holy fucking shit, I hate what I'm doing. I have no time to do the things that I like. I'm not out in nature. Like, I'm walking outside, but I'm not seeing anything. I'm not experiencing anything. I'm just existing. Yeah. And so I feel like I don't think everyone has this realization in their life, but it is a very common experience, I think, to one day, like, something just shakes you out of your everyday and makes you realize, like, you have no direction, and you can either run with it and grow from it, or you can just totally let it crush you. And from what I understand, you know, what woke you up was, you said that you were in the shower and like your hair was falling out. So like, were you sick? Like, did you have a chronic illness? Was it like temporary?
So what happened was, I was basically going to A&E every other week because I'd have some like other mystery illness going on where I'd have chronic fatigue or my joints would be aching. I ended up in hospital because they suspected that I'd had a stroke. And I was like, God. I know, it was honestly the craziest year, because I basically had an ocular migraine brought on by stress. But because you lose vision in your eye for even like a brief period, they have to have you in just to make sure that it wasn't a stroke. And, you know, I was the youngest person on the ward by like 30 years. And they were just like, we don't know why you're here, but you're experiencing these things that are very strange and we can't explain it. So yeah, it was a buildup of these very strange symptoms that were all, you know, what I know now as symptoms of stress and anxiety and, you know, low mood and depression. And all of that combined just made this like mess of a human who was dragging herself to work every day. But you know, and that healing process did take quite a while. And I think that because burnout has become this huge topic during the pandemic, we know an awful lot more about it now. And a few years ago, we didn't. So I didn't have a lot of resources to refer to. I wasn't quite sure what was going on. Whereas I think now, as if that had have happened post-pandemic or during the pandemic, people would have been like more mindful and would have been able to help me a bit more. It just wasn't, those resources weren't available. So yeah, that healing process took a while. And I've read recently that actually the symptoms of burnout can take up to 5 years to leave your system. So I know, I can see your shocked face. Yeah, so I think that I'm probably still experiencing some of those symptoms. Like, I think that in times of stress, I do get like springy joints, like where they sort of throb a bit, but it's getting a lot better. And definitely when I sink down into my meditation practice or do any trance work, it just goes away instantly. Like, as soon as I actually mindfully connect with my spiritual practice, all of the physical symptoms just fade away. So I know 100% that it's all related to that previous burnout. And I suspect very strongly that it will go away in the next couple of years. But just something that I picked up on with what you said, Brooke, was when you go into a job and you don't agree with what the company is doing, you know, from an ethical standpoint or the direction that they're going in, I find that a lot of people within the witchcraft community are going for the jobs that have like ethics and values that they resonate with. And as soon as something clicks out of place with that, or the company does go in a different direction, it's almost like you check out and you mentally like can't process it, because it's just so different from everything that you want to would be working for. I don't know if that's something that happened with you.
Yes, actually it was. I feel much more like safe saying this than I did a few months ago, but the company taught, like, to put it in one simple sentence, the company taught like Scientology-based values
Oh,
to
wow.
employees, and I had never been okay with it. Like from the very beginning when I realized like this is weird, like why are they teaching us these things from Ron L. Hubbard? That's or L. Ron Hubbard, whatever his name was, the father of Scientology. And they like they continued to say that they weren't Scientologists and that they were not enforcing these values on their employees, but I just couldn't understand like why as a company you'd want to be associated with something like that, like a cult that forced like torture and rape and all of this like psychological warfare on its members. Like it was wild. And it got to the point where like turnover in this company was getting so bad that I started thinking like, what am I doing? Why am I not looking for another job? Like you're not proud to be associated with this. You don't jump out of your bed every day ready to like help this company's vision happen. Like you constantly have something negative to say about like the people in this company because you're not happy. And that's like that is not who I am. Like I don't like to I would I don't like I just I was over it. It was just time for me to go and I went. And it was like a very scary summer. I didn't have another job. And yeah, it was just not, it was not good. And it was definitely like a wake-up call. So then when I was applying for other jobs, like I was really looking at those job descriptions and you know, the descriptions of jobs that are like, in order to work here, you've got to wear a lot of hats. This is a fast-paced environment. You have to be willing to jump in on your first day without knowing what's going on. You absolutely must be willing to do more than is asked of you. And I'm just like, this is the world we live in. Maybe not the world, because I don't know if I don't think the UK is really like this so much as America. Like America's very, our work ethic and culture is very unhealthy, I think, compared to the rest of the world, from what I've understood from speaking to people outside of America. The hustle culture here is very like, I mean, you know, if you don't have a billion side hustles, if you're not monetizing your hobby, what the fuck are you doing anything for? And like, that's something I think even Liz and myself struggle with because on top of our jobs and on top of the podcast, we both freelance and we do enjoy it for, you know, it is for fun mostly. Like, I don't need the money. But I'm doing it because I'm like, oh, like I'm skilled and I can monetize this and I can make, you know, and we're not born to work. It's so unhealthy. And I just feel like everybody says it all the time, but you don't realize how much you really aren't born to slave away until your friggin' hair starts falling out.
Exactly. Yeah, I think I talk about it in the book actually about when this modern working structure came about, you know, with Henry Ford. I think it was in like the 30s or 40s, creating that 9 to 5 day. And before that, you know, I don't know about in the US, but in the UK, like working conditions were awful. So we'll just skip back before that. But if we're thinking back to like nomadic cultures, like thousands of years ago, 6,000 years ago plus, they would have had a lot of time in their day that was carved out specifically for play, for exploration. You know, if once you had done your hunting and gathering, once you had found your food, you had spare time. You had time to actually just be and commune with nature. And that has just been completely eradicated with capitalism, with the modern working world. And it's just something that I feel so many people craving. I work a lot with a local shamanic community, and we speak a lot about going back to those sort of ancestral days. And I suppose that the title of the subtitle of the book is actually, you know, The Wheel, A Witch's Path Back to the Ancient Self. So like I'm looking back to those like almost prehistoric times when actually there's evidence to suggest that the richness of culture that we had back then, and the time, and you know, the wonderful things that we achieved in communities rather than just individuals working for a paycheck.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. Sometimes I just want to pick up my little basket and go outside and search for some berries. I mean, we don't have any on my street, but like, we weren't created for like this life of you work, and then you come home and you have like 2 hours to yourself, whatever.
Yeah. If that.
If that, you know, and like you factor in like kids and all the stuff, and it's like once you have dinner on the table and you've paid your bills and you've tidied the house and taken care of your pets and whatnot, you get like, I don't know, maybe 1 hour to yourself. So then what do people do? They sit on their phones and they scroll and they, you know, they either doom scroll if it's the beginning of the pandemic, or they're looking at political stuff like it's just so toxic and unhealthy. And I really wish that more people, I feel like when people learn that they're not the only ones who want more out of life, great change comes from that. So like, I feel like a lot of people think, you know, I'm not made for the 9-to-5. I'm not made for the grind. I'm not made for working for the man, working for someone else to make their dream come true. But they'll like, they'll stay in it. Like they'll just, because what's outside of the comfort zone? Like they don't know. So I don't know. I just feel like as witches, it's ingrained in us to go after the unknown, because essentially witchcraft really is something like you can't truly see it or touch it, just like any other practice or faith or religion, whatever you want to call it, whatever people listening want to refer to their path as. You just have to, you know, believe that there, like, there's more out there. And what I really love about the Wheel of the Year, like the paganistic rituals, is it really breaks up, like, it breaks up time into like segments of the year where you get to focus on something specific in your life, rather than just going through life and like, this is what it is. Like you get, you know, Ostara in spring and it's all like renewal and, you know, what changes can we make? And then like right now it's, what am I grateful for? What needs to go? What's not serving me? And I just kind of wonder, like, people who don't practice witchcraft, like, how do you decide when like things need to be switched up? Like y'all get what, Thanksgiving and Christmas and the 4th of July in America? Like that's all you have? What?
Well, exactly. Yeah. I mean, the festivals are so, like within Christianity, for example, the festivals are so spread out. You've got maybe Easter and Christmas to look forward to. Like, but within the Wheel of the Year, you've got something almost every 6 weeks. Like the wheel always turns on and it keeps moving on, and you've always got something to keep yourself going and looking forward to. But yeah, I wonder if people have got a little bit lost sort of in those in-between periods where there's nothing to focus on. So the Wheel of the Year is just this wonderful tool that we can use to just keep ourselves going and like propel ourselves through the year.
Exactly. And it's there's just so many ways to celebrate every season. And it's about more than giving gifts or making this like big feast that is literally based off of a bunch of white men pillaging and taking over country that's not theirs. I was actually looking at your Instagram with your picture on your story of your cat with your like Maven altar. I loved it. I thought that it was so pretty, and your cat looked like so witchy and it's very like fits right in. Liz is a huge cat person, so I already know she's probably gonna go look that up right after this.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, she looked great. I think, you know, in the spirit of abundance, she's been eating a little bit too much lately, so she's become a bit chonky. But yeah, having cats around, oh my gosh, I just absolutely adore it. But yes, with Mabon, I feel like it's been a week-long celebration. I just feel like that real abundance energy has been around us at the moment.
Yeah.
I don't know, how have you been celebrating?
I have actually, so the other day my favorite part of this part of the year is like all of the leaves falling. And I've noticed in Virginia where I live, as time goes on and I get older, the leaves fall earlier and earlier. And I know that that's definitely linked to climate change and it freaks me out. But I went outside the other day and I just took advantage of the fact that these leaves were falling early, and I picked up some reds and oranges and like a couple, you know, regular green ones, and I brought them inside and I'm trying to make a shadow box, like, yeah, like preserving them. I don't know if it's going to work. They could totally turn crusty. They might already be crusty. They're in my office, but I really just wanted to make something to remember this time of the year. For this specific year, because it's been a tough year for me. And I am hoping that they don't turn crusty, because I'd really like to make a cool little shadow box out of it. But other than that, like the way that I typically bring in like a new season is always with smells. So like I have like a little fall candle here beside me burning, and like I like to bring out my cozy blankets and eat really good food and just kind of bask in the feeling of like I've got what I need. Like I have a roof over my head, I have my wonderful animals, like
I've just seen him.
Yeah, she just popped her head.
Oh, hello,
hi there.
She's wearing her little t-shirt. It's got Def Leppard on the back.
So adorable.
So sweet. Oh, but Mia, yeah, also is celebrating with sweaters and a whole new wardrobe.
Yes, she is definitely, she's going to be bringing in her Mavon season by wearing her cozy little knit, cable knit sweaters and cuddling. So I just, sweet. Fall feel goods. I'm a summer baby, but I feel like my heart is definitely in fall. My rising sign is in Virgo, which is very fall-esque. So
yes. Even though Brooke and I are both in the States, I'm on the other side of the country as her, and here fall has not started yet. The leaves are not falling. They have not changed colors. But the weather is beautiful. It's like the, you know, the in between season. So we do still have like kind of fall temperatures, and I have just been trying to spend as much time in nature as possible. You know, while it's still nice to go outside, because pretty soon it will be quite miserable, but the weather at least. So actually, like later on today, I'm going to go spend time at the park, and there's this pretty river that runs right through it, and just like go eat some food and enjoy. It's a park that's in the middle of the city, and I think it's really beautiful to get to enjoy nature and also get to see the parts of the city that I love. But specifically this year, I wanted to start my own traditions that I love and traditions that I can carry on throughout my lifetime, because I had traditions growing up with my family, and a lot of them were religious based Christianity traditions, and I don't align with that anymore. And so I was like, you know, I want to do something that really just feels like me, that I can look forward to every year, and that I can do with people I love for years to come. And I really want to go all out and make my own like handmade fall and winter decorations by, like, you know, going out in the mountains and finding pine cones that have fallen to the ground to make garland, and, you know, like little orange slices and popcorn garland and all of the fun things about bringing nature indoors, but then getting rid of it and remaking it every single year. Because growing up, I feel like probably a lot of people had, like, you know, your mom is like, okay, go get the 3 tubs of Christmas stuff, and you pack it away and you pull it out, and it's like some people love that. But I don't know. I want to throw it away. I don't want to just have this plastic Christmas stuff stashed away each year that I'm going to use. And I want to make something with things from nature and give it back to nature when the season is over and do it again the next year.
That's beautiful, because it's like a ritual as well, isn't it? You're going out and like collecting those pieces every year so you can really, you know, immerse yourself in it each time.
Yeah. And it, you know, I get to go, it allows me to make sure that I get out into the mountains while the colors are still beautiful. And in Virginia, Brooke is getting more, I miss the fall in Virginia. It's so pretty. The reds and yellows and oranges and purples. It is vibrant. It's still very pretty here in Colorado. Everything turns golden. So it's very pretty. And gorgeous. It is a gorgeous time to recognize the seasons changing and what that means, what lessons you can take from that spiritually and applying them to your lives. I think it's just a beautiful time of year. We all get the cozy feel goods. We want to eat hot soups and burn candles, and cozy up with people that we love and our pets. And it's just a beautiful time of year. And I think this is the perfect time to talk about your book too, because your book totally gives off, like, just the way that you've been talking about it, like, you know, those cozy feel good vibes. And I can't wait to read it all cozied up myself.
Oh, I hope you enjoy it. But yeah, so it can be, I think autumn is a really good time to start it, because it actually starts on Samhain, like that is the first chapter. But then each chapter is a Sabbat, so you can read it along with the Wheel of the Year, and you know it makes sense that way, or you can read it all in one go. But yeah, you can sort of space it out through the year, because I kind of, a lot of it, you know, because I have this really strong connection with nature, as many of us do within Green Witchcraft, a lot of it feels like nature writing. So, you know, those really like lyrical prose where I'm talking about nature, just getting absolutely so lost in the beauty of it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, if you read it along with the seasons and along with the Sabbats, you know, you can go out and read that, you know, in the forest or in the mountains and be immersed in it as well.
Oh, that's perfect. That's awesome. I want to get the one with your new cover.
Yeah, that one's out on the 6th of October.
Yes. So excited.
Yeah, Liz, I think I sent you a link to it. I think it's like a UK site, but they still ship to America. So
perfect.
Definitely pre-order that for sure. Another thing that I wanted to talk to you about. So like I said, I was snooping around on your website because I like to, in an attempt to make guests who have never spoken with us like more comfortable, I just like to have more, as much information about you as I can. So you are a Reiki practitioner, correct?
That's right. Yes. So
what is that like? Distance Reiki? Like what?
I know, because I started it during the pandemic. So I just trained in 2019, and I was about to start up my own Reiki practice and going to have people like on a one-to-one basis. And then all of a sudden I couldn't do it face-to-face. I had to think about like the other options. And then I found out, you know, you can do distance Reiki where you can send energy using various symbols. And I think that has worked out so well, because during that period, so many people wanted to start their healing journey when they had more time. But also it was just such an uncertain time that Reiki and witchcraft as well, there's a lot of crossover, a lot of similarities with that energy work. And it's just, I think it's a wonderful thing to do, because I'm writing, I write books, but I also do copywriting freelance as well. And then I have this Reiki side of things. And I feel like it brings together all of my interests absolutely perfectly, because you know, I can spend the morning writing, and then in the evening I'll be doing energy and healing work. And I think that you know, within my witchcraft practice, I want to be sharing this message of healing that witchcraft has brought to me. So Reiki just fits in so perfectly with that. Yeah, I think it's just a wonderful thing to do.
So do people, like, when they book a session with you, do they typically give you like a little bit of background about like their trauma or like what part of their body they really need like the energy healing to be focused towards? Like, I've done like virtual sessions with totally different, but like with psychics or like people who look in like a past life, and sometimes they need like certain information from you so they can really focus their energy. So like, what do you typically ask for from people before you start doing it for them?
So all I need to do the actual work is just their full name and their location so that I can pinpoint it mentally as to where they are. But I also ask for their, you know, if they know their sun, moon and rising sign, because that can sometimes affect the advice that you give to them after, because sometimes if you find someone who has been stressed, has been burnt out, you can usually almost prescribe a certain set of herbs or practices that they can do between sessions that will help the healing process continue outside of Reiki. But I also find that, you know, we do have a 10 to 15 minute Zoom session beforehand so that I've got a really clear idea of what they've been going through, the areas they want to focus on. And I also ask them whereabouts they feel that in their body, because not everybody will have a working knowledge of the chakra system, but I ask them to close their eyes and think about what they're asking me and where they feel that in their body. And sometimes that can be surprising. You might expect that you know you'd feel it if you're feeling anxious, that you'd feel it all in your head, but actually you can feel that anywhere in your body. So I always make sure that I ask that question to start with, because it can give you like a real like eye-opening moment and and help people to figure out their next steps.
I love that. I've always like wanted to practice it. I have like books on it, but like, I don't know, you know, I would never feel comfortable doing it for anyone. I just like to read about it, but yeah. I've always wondered, you know, would a Reiki practitioner be able to help me with my weird stomach problems?
Definitely.
Because I've got this like weird stomach growl thing that's been going on since like November of 2020, and I've been to doctors and nobody can figure it out. I'm just like, okay, I guess I'm just gonna live like this. But I do think it's linked to stress, and I have endometriosis, so I'm sure that's like goes hand in hand somewhere. But that's really, really cool. I love that you are doing something during the day that can transition into something that you also are really passionate about at night, and you're also helping people. So it's really just like a win-win all around.
Yeah, it feels like that way. I honestly feel like I've had with the book, it's just made me feel so passionate about sharing this message. So yeah, I'm just really glad that everything in my life is kind of leading me in that direction.
I love that.
It's so cool that you also have, you know, multiple small doses of things that you enjoy. I'm not sure that works for everybody, but that works for me for sure, is not just having one job and that's like all I do, is this one job that takes up my entire life that I don't love, but having, you know, like I have a part-time job, I do my freelance work, Brooke and I have our creative projects, like this podcast, and I don't know, I guess like learning how to spread your time doing many different things that you like, if that's something that you want to do. Because I don't know, I guess like the focus around everything for me is realizing the most strongest form of currency is your time. It's not something that can be created. It's not something that you know how much you have. You can't buy that much more of it. I guess you could, like, you know, if you're sick and you can get better or things like that, but time is just how precious it is, and just deciding and being able to create a life spreading your time where you want it is really cool.
Definitely. I think so many people have had that realization throughout the past couple of years that just their time is so much more precious than anything else. And yeah, I just think that we are moving into this new age of the working world where it's transitioning into something a little bit more beautiful than it was before. It was a bit rough around the edges and we were just sort of going through the motions of old systems. But yeah, I feel like every day there's something in the news about a new way of working. And even this whole, the quiet quitting epidemic that's going on at the moment where people are just sticking to their job roles and not actually going further than that. It just says so much about the way that we're all feeling at the moment. And I think it's only a matter of very short time where it will change for the better.
God, I hope so. I have really been, I mean, when I was job searching and stuff, I was so drawn to the places that were like, Fridays off, or like we have like a hard stop every day at 2, unless like you absolutely have like you like work that's undone, whatever. My current job, we get like summer Fridays, which is becoming more and more of a more popular benefit jobs are offering now. But I don't understand the purpose of an 8-hour day if you can get your work done in less than that. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. And I have actually, my coworker was saying something the other day about, like, they're a little bit older, but they were saying something the other day about quiet quitting and how they, these Gen Zers like don't want to work. And I was like, it's not that they don't want to work. It's that they understand that no job is worth your health. No job is worth your sanity. And they're not going to bust their ass for a company that would replace them if they died next week. That's the hard truth of it. Like, I'm sorry, but...
That I have worked at jobs where people have died at my job.
What?
And yes, and we had like a big meeting about it where the executives just bring everybody in, they'd say what happened, and then they're like, okay, cool, well, we're gonna go back to work now. And then 2 months later, someone's at their desk filling their spot. And it's just like, that never happened. It's gross.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that things, I mean, yeah, how do you feel? Do you feel that things are starting to change where you are as well?
Moderately.
Moderately.
Yeah. I think that with older generations slowly moving out of the workforce and people our age, millennials and Gen Z, I think that things will change. I think there is still going to be a lot of time in between now and when they're much better. But I think how our careers have gone, how they started, poor Gen Z was thrown into the workplace in the past year or two. And we've had a totally different experience than older generations. So I wouldn't doubt that things change in the coming years. And I hope they do.
I think one thing too that a lot of like boomers and older generations aren't thinking about is when Gen Z people literally entered the workforce during the pandemic, and in their brain they're thinking like, you want me to work 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. at night with no extra pay and bust my ass when there's a literal pandemic going on and I could die tomorrow, and you expect me to make this my top priority? Like, are you kidding me? Like, it's so much of a, it's just a bigger joke to them than it is to people who are older, who have had the chance to like make a career and who have, they can buy houses and they can do all this stuff and they had kids when they were, life was a lot more financially feasible. And I know, like, as millennials, I feel like we can understand where Gen Z is coming from a little more, but because we were born earlier and we were put into the workforce earlier, way before the pandemic started. It's like, I don't know. I feel like I ride the fence a little bit about it, because I 100% agree that I'm not going to
risk my well-being for a job. But also, I'm just like Gen Z was losing before they ever had a fighting chance, because they started in the middle of a time where your job, it like working felt like a joke because the world felt like it was ending. It's like nothing mattered because you literally didn't know if you were going to get sick the next time you went and got groceries. So just a very, very strange past few years. And I'm very interested to see how long it's going to take America to step up to the plate and then just accept the fact that we can be just as successful and get just as much done without ruining everybody's mental health in the process. So I don't know if, you know, England and the UK and like other parts of the world are getting more lax to that part, like that aspect. Have you noticed?
Well, there's definitely definitely a change to like more flexible working. I don't think you can maybe condense your hours. Like, you know, if you'd finished all your work, you probably still have to kind of show that you're doing your hours. But that might just be like wiggling your mouse to show that you're still on Microsoft Teams, that kind of thing. But
you do what you gotta do.
You do, you gotta do it. I hope my work doesn't listen. Anyway. but yeah, there have been measures in place. But I think you can sense that things are slowly slipping back to the way they were. I am hoping that people kind of stand firm though and go, actually, this worked a lot better for us. Please, can we, you know, working at home really works for me. Can I make sure that I'm working here 4 days a week instead of like mostly in the office? Because I do feel like most companies now have gone back to the office, which has caused a few issues.
Yeah, I agree. A lot of people here decided that like they're like, no, I've been working remotely for 2 years now and done everything exactly the same as I would have in the office. If you're going to force me back in, then I quit. And that I feel like was something that really triggered like the great resignation, because I'll be damned if I work in an office again. No, thank you.
To be honest, like I keep thinking like all I thought about when I found out I was going to the office was like, what's my cat going to do without me? Yeah. Like, honestly, I actually felt like physical pain. I was like, oh my God, what's going to happen?
Did you get your cat a cat? Because I recently did that.
Oh, did you? We are so close to that. It's, you know, we talk about it a lot.
Do it. Do it.
Has it worked out well?
The kitten that I bought for my child has gone very well. He has taken on mommy mode because the kitten is really small. And so my cat's name is Garfunkel. And then this new kitten, his name is Stetson. And he is walking right past the microphone right now. Hopefully he doesn't step on it. He showed Brooke his whole ass yesterday.
Yes, his entire butthole was in the camera yesterday.
Amazing.
We were on FaceTime and he just swiped his booty across the screen. But they just love each other so much. They cuddle. I wake up now and every morning they're both cuddling me. Because my part-time job is in the office. So I'm in the office for a few hours a day. And even in those few hours, I felt bad for my cat being alone because he's so social. And now he has a friend for the few hours that I am in an office.
Yeah, okay. I'll tell my partner that and see what he says.
Yeah, sometimes you got to get your pet a pet. Like, especially these little pandemic animals, like, Mia has never known a life where I didn't work with her on my lap. So, like, who am I to deprive her of that luxury, you know?
She didn't sign up for anything less.
No.
She deserves it. She deserves all the attention.
Exactly. She does deserve it. She's literally just looking at me right now, just like, yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Jennifer. Do you prefer Jennifer? Do you go by a nickname?
I go by Jen, usually.
Yeah. Okay. So I feel like obviously Jen needs to pick the Ostara egg.
Yes. Yes, she does.
The Ostara egg?
Yes. So every episode we have an Ostara egg So that people can go comment under the most recent Instagram post. And if they listened that far, they'll know what the Ostara egg is and they can comment it underneath.
It started off as I was calling them like little podcast Easter eggs, like little hidden gems throughout the podcast. Mm-hmm. But Brooke and I are like, neither of us celebrate Easter. So we started calling them the Ostara eggs. Mm-hmm. And they're just little hidden gems throughout the podcast that people can go interact with and comment on our Instagram page while they're listening.
Okay. So like my best bit from the podcast, is that what you
So okay, so you pick an emoji. We've left that part out.
So you
didn't even say what it was. So you pick an emoji and they'll go comment the emoji you pick.
Okay, great. Oh, let me think, what's the best emoji? Let's say, there are 8 sabbats and the wheel of the year, so let's go for an octopus.
Ooh.
That's good. That is creative. I would have thought just like a leaf, but that's like, that's really smart. So if you listened this far, go comment the little cute octopus emoji under our most recent Instagram post that will be up the day that this is posted. So yeah, how special. I love that. Octopus.
Yeah, we've never used that emoji.
Oh, phew. I wondered if everybody had picked the octopus emoji. I was like, oh, phew.
No, normally Liz and I have like such trouble describing the emoji that we're trying to get people to pick. And so then like our comments get filled with like crazy things that people were like, oh, they must have been talking about this. It's totally our fault because we're just not describing it well. But, you know, but I'm going to put the link below to purchase the previous version of the wheel and also the paperback that is coming out on October 6th. So make sure that you check that out and also follow Jen on Instagram. Her handle is The Green Witch Writer. Obviously, I'll have all of her website and book and Instagram and everything linked below. Go show her some love. And yeah, I loved having you on. I'm so glad that you reached out. This is exactly why we created that submission form for people like you. So
it just popped right up and I was like, right, I felt the need to get in touch. So I really enjoyed this. Thank you for having me.
Of course, you did amazing. And I hope it wasn't too nerve-wracking for you.
I got through. No, it was so, honestly, it was so lovely to speak to you both.
Awesome. We need to make a post interview t-shirt or something.
A post interview t-shirt? What do you mean?
Yeah, have you seen, there's YouTubers that I've seen who are interviewers and they make like a, you made it through the podcast, or they have t-shirts that they give everybody they interview. And so the only people who have these shirts are people who have been on their show.
Oh, like we need to send her like a I made it through a witchful thinking podcast episode.
Yeah. Yes.
I would love that. I would wear that. I would wear that every day.
Honestly. We need to make that ASAP.
That's give us 5 crazy. Minutes after this podcast.
Yeah, give us literally 5 minutes. Amazing. I love that.
Well, also, Jen, I have a question for you after we're done recording.
Sure, let's do that.
So don't hang up.
I won't.
Okay. Yes. Also, if you're interested in booking a Reiki session with her, definitely check out our website as well, because I already have that bookmarked for when I inevitably do it. So
excellent. We'll be speaking about that later.
All right. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we will be back next week with a new episode.